for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 27th, 1980. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Hot Springs, Arkansas. Lee Ellenwood of San Fernando, California, is the teacher of the evening. This is tape 2 of 3 tapes on the Feast of Trumpets.
I remember Katsasarah.
Katsasarah. Just before this morning is over, why, we'll have a down pat. All right, the KH is a guttural sound, much as you'd have in German. Hot. O. And then this is a TZ sound, which we don't have in English, as far as I know. And you just have to put these two consonants together. Z, like that. Hatzo-zer-ra. Hatzo-zer-ra. And remember that that is an imitative word. We're talking on the feast, and in particular on the Feast of Trumpets. And the Hebrew word for trumpet is Hatzo-zer-ra, and it imitates the sound that was made when these men blew the trumpet. You know, I can kind of imagine the first man, and he's out in the blacksmith shop, and first man to make a trumpet, and so I don't know who inspires him to make it, but he makes a trumpet out there in the blacksmith shop, and he looks the thing over and puts it up to his mouth. Remember, there's never been a trumpet up to this time, and so he blows into it, and he goes, Hatzo-zer-ra, you know. So, that's what he named it, Hatzo-zer-ra. It's just an imitative sound. Hatzo-zer-ra. Praise the Lord. You want to say it? Okay. Hatzo-zer-ra. Hatzo-zer-ra. Praise the Lord. We'll say it some more before the meeting's over. Praise the Lord. I want to just repeat again the definition of feast. I gave this to you the other morning. This is gotten up by a friend of mine who did some work in the etymology of the word. And this is what he came up with. He says that, of course, the word for feast is hagag. And it comes from the Hebrew root, which means to dance. And all these feasts are times of rejoicing, with the exception of the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was a day of great affliction. And so this is what my friend came up with here. He says it means to dance, or to celebrate, or to reel to and fro, move in a circle, march in a religious parade. It also implies being giddy. Additional words that would apply are noisily merry, boisterous mirth, hilarious, bubbling joy, drunk anew, the new wine of the Spirit. In other words, it's a festival of a rejoicing atmosphere. I like that. In other words, you just forget about all of your inhibitions here, and you just let go and have a good time in God. Praise the Lord. Is that all right for Lake Hamilton? See, I come out here and I experiment on, and if it works, why, you know, then I give it in other places sometimes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, any thoughts or questions so far? Now, the great chapter on the feast is in Leviticus 23. We're not going to read that this morning, but some of you will be getting this on tape. Usually, when there's a great truth, there is one particular chapter in the Bible that will set forth this truth. We call it a great chapter. And the great chapter on the feast is in Leviticus 23. And verses 23 to 25 tell us about the Feast of Trumpets. In just a moment, we're going to turn to Numbers 10. And Numbers 10 is the great chapter in the Bible on the trumpets. I think we'll put this on the board again this morning. Over here we have our old friend the tabernacle. I always tell people that in the temple that God is building, he's going to have everything straight. So I don't worry too much about my drawings. I just kind of slap them up there. But God is building a temple, and everything is going to be straight. He's going to use the plumb bob. He's going to use the level. He's going to use the T-square and all of these things. His building is going to be a perfected building. I go on record as believing in perfection. Praise the Lord. All right, this is a diagram. There's a flannel graph up here on the board. Actually, there were four veils to the sacred building. We had just one. This is the glory cloud. I have always said that probably this drawing was made at night because they have the cloud of fire, which shone at night. Daytime, it was a cloud, perhaps like a rain cloud or something. But at night, it was a pillar of fire. All right, so out here is the outer court. Up here is the holy place. Up here is the Holy of Holies. We have quite a discussion going on in these days about the coming of the Lord. And a lot of people wonder, well, does the church go through the tribulation or a part of it or what, you know? When you understand the structurings of God in the second coming, there's just no problem. Remember that all of God's people are not in the same package. Now, God does not determine this. We determine this. This is a pathway from the first gate up into the third gate, into the holiest of all. This is a pathway, and it depends on us how far we go in this pathway. God responds to our responses. Sometimes I almost feel like Presbyterian, but this Methodist background in me is very, very strong. And I'm a whosoever will man. I believe that the Lord stands in back of each one of these gates and he invites the people to come. And if they respond, he brings them on and eventually he'll bring them up into the very throne of God. If they respond, praise the Lord. All right, so here is the body of Christ church. Remember we told you it takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a strict New Testament sense of the word to bring us into and make us a part of this structure. Out here we have salvation. Here we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now God's getting ready to do his third great work. This is the place where many will receive a changed body. And when they receive this changed body, they're going to look exactly like the Lord. When we see him, we shall be like him. This is almost incomprehensible. They're going to look like the Lord. And I just urge people with all solemnity, don't miss this. Find out what it takes to go through the veil. We have, I think, some tapes along this line. Find out what it takes to go through the veil. One description of those that go through the veil is found in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. There's the photograph of the people that go through the veil. Don't miss this. There will never be another opportunity after this population is established within the veil. There'll never be, as far as I can find in the Word of God, there'll never be an opportunity to come in and become a part of this Holy of Holies population. Now, sometimes the question comes up, isn't the veil already rent? Don't we all have the opportunity to come in? Hebrews is not talking now about the populations of the house of the Lord. Hebrews talks about our access to the throne of grace, because this Ark of the Covenant up here is the throne of grace at the present time. Very soon it's going to change, and it's going to become a throne of judgment. But right now it's the throne of grace. So no matter where you might be out here in the kingdom of Satan, you might be merely an outer court believer, you might be a holy place believer. But wherever you are, you have access because Jesus rent the veil. We're not talking about that. Anyone along the line has access, I believe, to the throne of grace. But what we're talking about is our eternal placement. Right now, we're determining whether we're going to be in the heavenly structuring, whether we're going to be in the outer court, or in the holy place, or in the holy of holies. And this is something that needs to be treated with great concern and great solemnity in our lives. I think on the last page of our notes on the seven stars, you'll find a list of about 12 or 14 scriptures that have to do with the coming of the Lord. And you should get those and study how to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because it takes readiness. It takes readiness. A while back I was ministering in a town on the West Coast, and I have known the pastor for many, many years. I knew him when he was just a very young man. And so I was invited to minister in his church, and usually before I go to a church, I consult with the pastor, because the pastor, the leadership of the church, the elders are responsible. They are the custodians of the truth for that church. And in this structure of submission and so on, I must become submissive to that pastor when I go to his church. And I often acknowledge this openly. If I have something that might be controversial, I should talk with him first in the leadership and get permission to say it. And so I had neglected to do this. One thing was everybody's in a hurry and I didn't have the opportunity. Another thing was I thought I knew the pastor very, very well, and that he was moving along in the same lines that the rest of us were. But after I left, I found out that he disagreed with me very violently, and he'd been teaching that the church was going to go through the tribulation. And three different people called me up, and I guess I made some waves there. I'm very sorry for it. I was staying at the home of a young couple, and this young couple, as soon as the meetings were over, it was on a Monday, we're planning to go from San Diego up to San Francisco. And so we left on Monday, and we planned that they should stay overnight at my house and in Los Angeles, and then go on up and finish the rest of their trip. And so at my house, a young lady had a dream that really shook her up. Now, doctrines are not based on dreams and visions. Always remember that. I've said that, I think, probably every time I've been here. Doctrine and teaching are based upon the Word of God. And so dreams and visions and these things may corroborate or enlighten, but teaching itself is based upon the Word of God. But in this dream, she saw herself in this church, and people were sitting around. And she said to them, "The Lord is coming." And they nodded their heads and said, "Yes, that's right, we know He's coming." But she said, "He's really coming." That's the way I'd like to say it in these days. He's really coming. He's really coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so here over here we have the first festival season, which was Passover in the outer court. In the holy place, we have the second festival season, which is Pentecost. People often wonder what God's new work is. Well, God's getting ready to do a lot of new things. I think it could be encompassed by the word, the Feast of Tabernacles. He's getting ready now to do His third great work, and this equates with the Holy of Holies, the Tabernacles, called the Festival or the Feast of Tabernacles. This, in turn, is broken up into three feasts. First of all, down here we have trumpets, and that's what we're talking about. And then we have the Day of Atonement. My personal opinion is the Day of Atonement is in Revelation 4. Revelation 4. In the last verse of Revelation 3, or the first verse of Revelation 4, John hears a voice as of a trumpet, the first trumpet speaking, saying, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And at that point, the Holy of Holies is opened. Remember in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies was opened once a year. And immediately we find ourselves in the heavenly Holy of Holies. And in my own thinking, I equate this with the Day of Atonement. And then the third feast is called Tabernacles. But these three feasts make up the one festival, the third festival, called the Feast of tabernacles. Mark well, he said, the entering in. And we should ponder these things and think on these things and pray over these things and search the scriptures, because in one sense, this is the greatest thing that God will ever do for you. Of course, it was a great thing when he translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It was a great thing when he brought you into the royal priesthood by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and made you a part of his body. But in one sense, the greatest thing that he will ever do for you is to bring you into a changed body. And the more I ponder this, the more I'm awed by it. People like us, you know, actually, we all look kind of funny, you know. Some of us have big feet, and some of us have floppy ears, and in this sense, none of us are perfect, I guess. And yet, it is the likes of us that God is going to bring into full conformity of his son. We're going to look like him. This is an opportunity never before given to any humans and will never again be given to any human. And this is why we should live soberly and righteously and justly in this age. Hallelujah. Now, one thing that has helped me a great deal in studying about these theses, that they have reflections back and forth. If we could turn this board around, well, let's see how we do this. Let's put down here just some X's to represent the feasts. Here's Passover, here's Pentecost, and then the three feasts that make up the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, these all have historical dates for fulfillment. Four have already been fulfilled. Three are about to be fulfilled. They're fulfilled on certain dates. Jesus didn't die just on any day, but he died to fulfill the thought of the Passover lamb when it came up out of Egypt. All right, now, sometimes there are people that, you know, have never had access to the charts. I don't know how many of you are acquainted with Larkin's charts. Any of you have Larkin's charts? I don't see them on the book table back there. Thank the Lord. These used to intrigue us 50 years ago, and there were a lot of preachers that were preaching on these charts. These people had everything pigeonholed, you know, just exactly right. Everything was pigeonholed. There's some people that didn't know about that. For example, down here at the Feast of Trumpets, possibly some people are going to receive changed bodies. But here's a man living way back over in here, Enoch. And he didn't know about dispensationalism, and so he believed himself into a changed body way ahead of time. Hallelujah. Wasn't that nice? Hallelujah. Over here was a Syrophoenician woman, and she hadn't heard about dispensationalism, you know, and she hadn't heard it wasn't time to admit the Gentiles into this, and so she cried out unto the Lord, and he said, well, what I have is just for the Jewish people. But she didn't know anything about that. She just kept on crying until God gave her, a Gentile woman, something ahead of time. Praise the Lord. So I'm giving you these illustrations to show you that these feasts have meanings. And people have come into relationships and experiences even though it wasn't time. For example, down here somewhere is the year of Jubilee, when all the slaves are going to be set free. Hallelujah. And some of us haven't had Larkin's chart, you know, to see that this is going to be way down here sometime. We want to get free now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God brings us into deliverance now. Praise the Lord. And so all of these feasts have meaning back and forth all the time, according to the faith of God's people. Praise the Lord. This helped me a lot in understanding the processes of God. Praise the Lord. Now, just what is a ha-o-sarah? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I don't think I'm going to talk too long because I have some other things that I'd like to have us do this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. All right, here Paul says, and we're sort of taking this out of context here. He says that even things, 7th verse, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is tight their heart? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? 1 Corinthians 14:7-8. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now, the Hatzotzarah is a certain sound, a positive sound. And I think the best definition that I can give to you of the meaning of the trumpet is that it is an authoritative voice. An authoritative voice. This is what the trumpet is. An authoritative voice. Let's all say Hatzotzarah with an authoritative voice. Now, remember that an authoritative voice is a trumpet. So put your hands up here like you got a trumpet, and let's say it with an authoritative voice. Hatzotzarah! Amen. Hallelujah. You don't say, Hatzotzarah. A trumpet is an authoritative voice. Praise the Lord. Now let's turn over to Exodus, the 19th chapter. Two times has deity sounded a trumpet or spoken with an authoritative voice. At least the authoritative voice is expressed by the trumpet. The first time that deity has ever spoken with an authoritative voice was on Mount Sinai. Down in the 13th verse, for example, of the 19th chapter, it says, when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. In the 19th verse, the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And then going over to, we left out the 16th verse. And it came to pass on the third day, the third day again, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. This is God now beginning to speak, and his voice came like a trumpet, exceeding loud. Hallelujah. Did I ever tell you about the little charismatic meeting I was in one time? It was in my neighborhood, and I slipped over one day. And there was a young pastor there, very nice young fellow, dressed very neatly and rather mod. He attracted quite a few young people there, and God was blessing him. And, he didn't know me. I was just a stranger, just dropped in, sat right near the back. And so he was telling how people in the little group there had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you can always tell in what era a person who received the Holy Spirit came from. The old-time Pentecostal people, when they received the Spirit, were real loud. Well, he hit it on the head there. But more recently, he's bringing out this thought in the charismatic move, you don't have to be loud to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was commending one of the young women there that when she prophesied, that she prophesied with a soft and well-modulated voice. Well, God does a lot of things with a loud voice. And very often, the authoritative voice is a loud voice. Notice this word loud here in Exodus. It's found several times in verse 16 and in verse 19. The voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Hallelujah. If you don't like noise, it's a good time, to back out. Because God's people are going to get louder and louder, more authoritative, more and more authoritative, praise the Lord, because God is coming forth to speak in no uncertain tone. And the trumpet that is being sounded, the voice of God that is coming forth in the land of these days, is going to come with great strength and power, praise the Lord. I don't all necessarily believe that because we're loud, we have power. But I do believe that many times when the power of God is demonstrated, that we do become loud. I believe that. All right. Now, there are a number of places in the Word of God where the trumpet was sounded. And in every one of these places where the trumpet was sounded, there is a pointing forward to the Feast of Trumpets. Something that's going to happen at the time of the Feast of Trumpets. And I'm just going to give you some of these. I don't have time to go in detail in all of them. The Lord willing, we want to finish this series of messages up on Monday. And on Sunday, we want to begin the messages on the four living creatures around the throne of God, because here's another picture of these that go through the veil. And tomorrow morning, we want to talk about the eagle saints. The eagle saints. Now, we're going to talk about the man saints and the lion saints, probably in one message. And then, finally, the last message will be upon the oxen saints. That's about the time that many people will pack up and go home. You know, they're not too interested in being an oxen saint. They like to be an eagle saint, a lion saint, but, you know, the idea of being an ox, well, they might go home a day early, you know, if they're going to stay on account of that. Of course, I think they'll stay on to hear my other brethren here. All right, now, let's turn over to number 16 here, and I want to read some of this chapter, that the great chapter that has to do with the trumpets, or numbers, what did I say, it's numbers 10. Yeah. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Remember now that silver is a type of redemption. And so this is a testimony unto redemption. It's really bringing forth the victories of the redemption. That thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with one of them all the And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the congregation, at the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm, the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. Then in verse 8 we find that it is the sons of Aaron, the priests, who have the privilege of blowing these trumpets. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your month, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. All right, trumpets then were blown on many occasions. In all of the feasts, there was the blowing of trumpets. Just as in all of the feasts, there was the shedding of blood. In all of the feasts, there was the working of the Holy Spirit, not just on the day of Pentecost. Now, number one, the trumpets were blown to gather together the princes. Hallelujah. The Feast of Trumpets, I believe, begins over in Revelation, the first chapter. Remember that everything at this point in the book of Revelation is yet future. Schofield and Larkin and these men have brought in a lot of false teaching. Schofield used to say in his Bible that Revelation 1 had in it the revelation of Jesus to John on the Isle of Patmos. This is not so. In Revelation 1, we have the appearing of the Lord to the first fruit company. This is not just merely a vision. You see, in verse 9, it says that John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in an isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is, by the Spirit of God, he was projected down through the 2,000 years into the day of the Lord. The drama has already been written. The second coming is a drama. It's already been written. And in God's mind, in God's purpose, is already accomplished. It just simply needs to be effected. And John was transported by the Spirit into this period of time. He was projected into this period of time. All right? The first thing then that happens is that he hears behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. This is the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, one scripture says that it's going to be the trump of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's called the trump of God. 1 Corinthians 15:52 calls it the last trump. Now, later on, there are going to be some other trumpeters. The seven stars, which is another picture of the overcomers, are going to blow trumpets. But this is the last trump that deity blows. And so, here's John, projected into the day of the Lord, and the first thing that he hears is the sound of Tetzera! Hallelujah. It's behind you. And he turns around. And this is what the trumpet says. The trumpet voice says, I am Alpha and Omega. Remember now that a trumpet is an authoritative voice. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, I am Alpha and Omega. He doesn't say, I'm Alpha. Let me see, what else am I now? I want to share this with you. I'm Omega. You know, Glenn here has some pet peeves. This isn't exactly a pet peeve. And I understand the motivation. But we have this expression in these days, you know, that we use with one another. We say, I want to share something with you. Now, I understand the motivation. We don't want to come in heavy upon somebody and talk down upon him. And so this is a gracious way of approaching the person with what we have to say. But, you know, the early Christians didn't go around sharing things. They proclaimed the gospel. Hallelujah. They declared it in power. They didn't come in and say, now, folks, we just had a beautiful experience. And if you like, during our coffee break here, I'll share this with you. It wasn't that way. They blew a trumpet when they came. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So, here's the Lord, and he's speaking now. This is the last trump. This is the second time and the last time that God speaks like a trumpet with an authoritative voice. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I think we went through this here one time, didn't we? And had the calumet. Huh? Didn't we do that one time here? What thou seest, write in the book, and so on. And down in verse 17, he says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and is dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And all of the words that the Lord speaks from this point on through chapter 4 and verse 1 are the last trump. If you have a red letter Bible, like I'm using here, everything in red, beginning with verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, going on down through chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4. I don't know why this Bible doesn't have these words in red, because it's all a part of the same trumpet. Because in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be after this. And that's the end of the last trump. All of the words of Jesus up to that point are the last trump. Hallelujah. All right, what happens at that last trump? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians and the fourth chapter. And let's see, 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a telema, with the voice of the archangel, or literally with the voice as of a chief angel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Then there's an interval of time. They explain this in the book on the seven stars. There's an interval of time, and Then it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is what happens at that last trump, or at the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, as it's going to be fulfilled in the Word of God. And then turning over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Oh, how I like this. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And the 51st verse, behold, I show you a mystery. It's no longer a mystery now. It's like, one person says to another, I'm going to tell you a secret. Well, when she tells a secret, it's no longer a secret, is it? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At the last trump. 1 Thessalonians says, the trump of God. Only twice is God spoken with an authoritative voice expressed by a trumpet. First is on Sinai, and the second will be at the coming of the Lord. And he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in an Alamo, the smallest possible division of time, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And so, at the beginning of the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. Praise the Lord. I like that. Oh, Ramash. This could happen at any moment. Praise the Lord. I'll have a little more to say about that. All right, now, another thing that... I haven't finished this yet. When the trumpet was blown once, it was for the gathering of the princes. I believe the scriptures are inalterably opposed to the idea that when Jesus comes, that every Christian is going to be caught up. I find absolutely no support of this in the Word of God. No support. The first trumpet, this blast, will bring forth the princes. Remember the scripture back in Numbers, the 10th chapter. It will bring forth, it's the gathering of the princes. And in Numbers, the word for prince is Nasi. N-A-S-I, if you're making notes. Nasi. And it means literally lifted up or exalted. This beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, this blast, this one blast, will bring forth those that are to be in leadership in the coming age. Now, I said this before, and I'll say it again this morning, that a lot of people have an idea that the visible leadership of the Pentecostal charismatic move will be the visible leadership of the next age. This is far from the truth. I appreciate men like Dima Shakarian and Duplessy and Bob Mumford, and I could go on down. There's quite a list of them. They're in the public eye. I think sometimes like with all of us, there's some mixture in their teaching and that's in their lives sometimes. But these are not the men that are going to be the visible leadership in the next age. They can be in it if they meet the qualifications just like anybody else. But you see, the Lord says that if we would be great in the kingdom, that's up here, if we would come to the throne, then we must become the servant of all. And I see a lot of people in these days that are God's servants. They're not heard on tapes. And they're not seen on television. But they're walking tremblingly before the Lord. They're the common, ordinary people. They attend the prayer services and they're faithful to the body. And many times they give not out of their excess, but out of their poverty. And they sacrifice. As we said before, the picture of them is in Matthew 5. They mourn, they weep and cry. They're not just always showing their teeth in a great big Jesus smile.
Amen, brother.
But many times they weep before the Lord and they groan before the Lord. These are the meek, the poor in spirit, those at mercy, other people. We've given this to you before in another case. These are the humble people. But all of a sudden, at the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, they suddenly become exalted. Because the Bible says if we abase ourselves now, we're going to be exalted in another day. That little lily of the valley in the Song of Solomon, which is another picture of this, that little tiny belly flower that was in the grass of the field, all of a sudden becomes the decoration on the top of a pillar in Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Let's walk humbly before God so that when that trumpet sounds, we may be among these that are called the Nasi, the lifted up ones, the exalted ones. It's not that we want to be exalted. I'm sure of this. I know really the last thing that I want is a rod of iron. Maybe some people are looking for it. But I want to be in another aspect of this thing that's brought out in the Old Testament. I want to be among those seven shepherds that will help bring God's people that are scattered because of the false shepherds, bring them back into the fold. So there's the gathering of the princes. Then the trumpet was used for the gathering of the people. And perhaps Matthew 24:31 applies here. And he shall send his angels. Now remember in the book of Revelation that the angels, for the most part, I believe, are people angels. People messengers. We'll explain all of that in the seven stars. And he's going to send his angelos, or the malachim, with a great sound of trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Another scripture is over in Isaiah 27:13. And so in the Feast of Trumpets, there's going to be a gathering together of all of the people of God, not only of those that come up into the Holy of Holies, but also there will be a gathering together into one, all of these that occupy the holy place in his house. See, we were baptized into one soma. And our structuring today divides us. We were baptized into one body. People say, well, this is just the mystical body of Christ. There is no such thing as the mystical body of Christ. The body of Christ should be visible. It's not just something, where we have a secret fellowship with one another. It should have an expression right out here in the realm of the natural. And yet our structuring today divides us. I go to some structuring and they just love me. You'd be surprised. I was telling Morris, I think, about one place where I was. And they just really loved me there. I go to other places and they can take me or leave me. Either way. And I've been in two or three places where they left me. God's been very gracious, though. We've been ministering along these lines and traveling for the past several years, and the Lord is just continually opening new fellowships to us. It's really, to me, just a miracle. It couldn't have happened 15 years ago, Glenn. But the hour has arrived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But God's people are all going to be gathered together into one. You won't have Methodist charismatics and Catholic charismatics and Assemblies of God and Foursquare and UP and Full Gospel Businessmen and all of these structurings that tend to divide. But all of God's Spirit-baptized people are going to flow together as one people. Hallelujah. And we should lend ourselves to everything that can bring this about, even now, in part. Praise the Lord. All right, the trumpet was sounded for a time of alarm. Now, it's going to be an alarming thing when this trumpet sounds in Revelation 1. Actually, I don't think anybody's going to hear it except these overcomers, these first fruits people, these that go through the veil. But if they could hear it, it would be a time of alarm. Zephaniah says in 1:14-16, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress,
a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet. The Feast of Trumpets begins with a joy for some, but to others it's going to be an alarm. It's going to usher in a time of trouble, a 7-year period of trouble, the last half of which perhaps is called the Great Tribulation. In the Greek, it's the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, intensified term. Jesus said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape those things that are coming upon the earth. A day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. All right, the trumpet was blown to signal the marching of God's people. From time to time in the wilderness, the cloud of glory would lift above the tabernacle, and the trumpets would sound, and then the camp of Israel would move forward. We've been in a rather static position for a long time in terms of restoration. We've been almost 100 years now in the holy place, and some of God's people are getting pretty restless. They say, we've had these same teachings over and over and over again. We're hearing just the same thing over and over again. Well, at the last trump, there's going to be a moving of some of God's people. He's going to move them through the veil. Hallelujah. In the first chapter of Revelation, these people are moved into the hand of Jesus Christ. These are the 7 stars in his hand. They're moved into a new place. Now God begins to bear his mighty right arm. He begins to do his mighty work. You should study that expression in the Bible, the arm of the Lord. It has to do with this company of people. It's time for a new thing. There's a time for change. Praise the Lord. All right. The trumpet signaled a time of warfare. There are numbers of scriptures here. We have Gideon, for example, and the blowing of the trumpets in his day. He came against Midian, which means contention and strife. We have in Judges 3:27 the blowing of trumpets in connection with Moab. In 1 Samuel 13:3, the blowing of trumpets in connection with the Philistines. And so the sound of the trumpet is calling God's people to war. The Feast of Trumpets, then, is not a time of rest. That comes later on in Tabernacles up here. But first of all, it's a time of war. Hallelujah. And so the trumpet will sound, assembling the leaders of this war that's coming up. First of all, it's a time of war. Sometimes people say, well, Brother Elwood, I'm so tired. I thought when Jesus came, he was just going to give me a waterbed. He'd have all my meals sent in to me. He put on some nice television programs, and I could just lie there and rest. Forget it.
That's right.
Forget it. It's a time of warfare. Hallelujah. The only thing is, you're going to have a changed body in that day. Praise the Lord. I'm kind of bearing my soul to you this morning a little bit. But you know, I go into assemblies where probably 90%, 95% of the people are young people. And I don't know, there's just something in here that just kind of leaps out to them. Do you ever have that feeling, you know? Just a love for them. I just love these young people so much. And I think to myself, you don't know what you're getting into. They're so uncomplicated. Hallelujah. They get their guitars out, you know, and they sing songs and they sing about things they don't know anything about, you know, about Zion. And I sometimes say that, they're not fighting the Reformation over again. The thing that they love is just fellowship. They're not interested in reviving the old doctrinal disputes we've had in the past. They just care less. They just love people and they love one another. And they love to worship and they love the Word of God. And so many times in these meetings, these young people will come up, you know, and they're just full of questions. And it's a joy to minister to them. I know you that are ministering are experiencing that same thing. And I see the eagerness in their eyes. And then I seem to see something. I can't say it's a vision. But I seem to see them, and they're full of a new kind of life. And they're in rank, and yet they're not standing just shoulder to shoulder. They're kind of scattered out. And it's like they're leaping from hill to hill, just bounding over the mountaintops. And they're sending out a war cry. And the mountains reverberate with their war cry. The valleys are filled with a sound. And when it comes to the cities, it's like the city shakes. I keep seeing this thing over and over and over again. Like I say, it isn't a vision. I don't know what you'd call it. Maybe just a revelation or something. And they're so full of life. Just life. And the enemies put up walls to keep them out. And they just laugh and leap over the walls. They run through a troop and leap over a wall. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? I know it's in a song. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They go crashing right into buildings made of concrete and steel. They appear in the midst of evil men sitting around tables plotting the destruction of the people of God, seeking to cast off the bands of the Almighty, as it says in Psalm 2. There's just something about it. And that's old codgers here. We're in it too. Hallelujah. I'll be 70 years old next year. I don't usually tell my age, but if the Lord tarries, I'm going to tell it. I think when you're 70, you should have a real gala time. I'm going to remind them I want a birthday party. Remember, Kagan? I don't know. That's just where I'll be. But I'm going to let them know. Remember those two old fellows in Israel that believed God when the other spies brought an evil report? They went in too. They were a part of this army. And here's old Caleb. And Caleb says, "See that mountain over there? I want that mountain." He didn't want a nice fertile field all plowed up and fertilized and ready to go. He wanted to make a conquest. Does anybody know how old he was? I never figured that out. At least 80. Okay. You either work with numbers now. I'll have to add 10 to my 70, won't I? Praise the Lord. See, the word Caleb means dog. But God has something for the old dogs, too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The trumpet's going to sound, and the feast of trumpets is being ushered in. And all the things that are going to take place. Praise the Lord. I just love it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Not too long ago, I was in a place, and a very strong word came over me. And the young man that gave the word interrupted the service. And this is very unusual, because in this place, there's usually a place made in the service for the word of knowledge. But he went to the pastor, and he felt very strongly that he should give this. And I was fiddling away over on the piano like I do sometimes. And he came over and gave me this word, and he said, "You don't have very long." And the idea was not to waste time with these that were not responding. He said, "You don't have very much more time to give this and to concentrate on those that are responding." And the peculiar part of it was, you know, this was a real question with me, because I get different kinds of responses. Sometimes there are people that, you know, just they've never heard these things, and they just are ready and they eat them up. And then there's other people who want to argue with you, or they will try to bring it down to a natural basis. And a young fellow had driven me down from Spokane to this city, a young fellow by the name of Tad. And I asked Tad about this. I said, "You know, I'm just wondering about something. Should I continue working with those that aren't showing a real response?" I was kind of sharing, using that word share here, with him about this little difficulty I was feeling in my spirit. And then it's just like the Lord thundered back that answer to me through this word. And this young man in the church is recognized as having a true word from the Lord. I inquired afterwards. I always inquire about people that prophesy over me. and he has a true word. He's highly respected in the church. I don't think we've got much time. I don't think we have much time. Hallelujah. Let's get our trumpets all tuned up, huh? Best we can. They don't play a tune, actually, but let's get used to our trumpets. Okay, so it's a time of warfare. All right, one more thought here this morning. The trumpet is sounded for victory. For victory. Monday morning, the Lord willing, if the Feast of Trumpets hasn't begun by then, we'll try to give you some more things here. But we'll end with this one this morning. The trumpet was sounded for victory. And I know you've already thought about Jericho, but let's go over to Joshua the 6th chapter here. Joshua the 6th chapter. Now, incidentally, this took place at Passover time. I haven't keyed in to the book of Revelation, all of these things yet, but they're all going to be fulfilled in the book of Revelation. And so in verse 10 of chapter 5, we find that this took place at the time of Passover. In verse 13, this is a very important part of the picture. Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. The Feast of Trumpets is the time of the drawing of the sword. Remember when we talked to you about Ehud, the left-handed man? That he had a dagger of a gomed in length. Nobody knows what a gomed was. It was a weapon of a new dimension. It's been translated cubit, but it has nothing to do with cubit in the Hebrew. It's a measurement all by itself. And this tells us that God is fashioning instruments in the last day, weapons of warfare of a new dimension. And it's the time of the drawing of the sword. Hallelujah. Many of God's people have felt the swords in the scabbards at their side, underneath their garments. They have felt them. There's been a quickening, and yet they haven't known what to do. Why? Because the time has not yet arrived. But the Feast of Trumpets is the time of the drawing of the sword. So Joshua said to this one, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the hosts of Jehovah am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? See, in this warfare, the Lord Jesus is going to take command. Sometimes we go off fighting on our own. One of the things I've learned is not to fight every battle I see. We've said this before here. Because sometimes this is simply a ploy of Satan to exhaust you. So when the time of the real battle comes, you're just not with it. And so here the Lord's taking over. And the captain of Jehovah's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now this is before the victory. You see what God is doing? If we will begin to sound that trumpet and speak with an authoritative voice, we're going to make the enemy nervous. Remember our message on vexing the Midianites? Make them nervous. We come against them and we tell them, you're on the way out. The kingdom of God is coming. Hallelujah. The kingdom of Satan is falling. And so the news of Joshua and the children of Israel made the people of Jericho nervous, and they closed up the city. They put big timbers on the gateways and huge cross timbers, and perhaps they piled rocks in the doorways so that nobody could enter into the city. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. This is binding the strong man. He says, I've given it to you. See, we're not creating the victory. Jesus created the victory. We are forwarding the victory and applying the victory. Always keep that in mind. We don't create the victory. We forward it. Now, Jericho was the key city to the land. It was the city that first had to be taken. And after that, the rest of the cities fell to them, at least when they behaved themselves. It was the key. This parallels with the book of Revelation. And there's a point in the book of Revelation, perhaps in the middle of the 7-year period. And here the voice says, now are the kingdoms of our God become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever. A key thing happened at this point in the book of Revelation. From then on, it's a mopping up process. The last 3.5 years, the bowl judgments are poured forth. See, it isn't a question of whether you go through the tribulation or not, as we said many times. God has some people that are going to execute the judgments of the tribulation. They're going to execute the judgments of the tribulation. Last time when we were here, we told you about the Elijah ministry, which is another picture of the same thing. And Elijah executed the judgments of God over the land of Israel. Hallelujah. If you're planning on going through the tribulation, well, okay. But God's people are not all in the same package. These that go through the veil, unto them is going to be given to bring forth the judgments of that great tribulation period. Okay. Now, where did Glenn go? He always goes just when I need him. He did this once before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this morning, in closing, I'd kind of like to have us dramatize this a little bit. We're going to sort of dramatize the fall of Jericho here. You say, I just love Jericho marches. Well, this is going to be a little bit different. Let's all say, Hatzosarah. Good. You're getting that, the voice of authority now, aren't you? An authoritative voice. Hatzosarah. Hatzosarah. Okay. Whenever you read of an authoritative voice in the Bible, and particularly in the book of Revelation, it's a trumpet. The symbol, the meaning of the symbol of trumpet is an authoritative voice. Praise the Lord. Glad you got back here. We're just needing you here. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to demonstrate this. I don't know how this is going to show up on tape. The other day they had one of these things where they take your picture at the same time, you know, and I guess we're coming into that sooner or later, if the Lord carries. I always like to put that in, if the Lord carries. Get this into your thinking. You say, well, that ends everything, doesn't it? No. The coming of the Lord is the acceleration of everything. The explosion of everything. Hallelujah. That which we have in part explodes out into fullness. Amen. That's why I don't resent the coming of the Lord. I long for it. Praise the Lord. There's kind of a buildup on the inside. And the big bang is going to come at the coming of the Lord. The explosion of that which is in part. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, now, what did God tell the children of Israel to do? He said, first of all, he said, I want the men of war to go first. Now, we're not going to discriminate here. You're all men of war this morning. This includes the ladies. You know, our message on Deborah. You've got the male spirit in the spirit. And so we'll have some of you go first. And then we have to have 7 priests. 7 men that will be priests. Because 7 priests were to blow 7 trumpets. This parallels with the book of Revelation, where these 7 stars or these overcomers are given 7 trumpets. So then we have 7 priests bearing the trumpets. Glenn, I want you to pick these men out. I want men that have loud voices. You can be one of them. You know them better than I do here. I think Frank down here has to be about this. All right, you pick out 7 men here. Where's that fellow that sang last night?
Huh?
Where's that fellow that sang last night?
Jay?
Is he here? Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oswald? Come on. You're the eldest priest in the...
All right, somebody move those cords out of the way or fix them so, and when you come around that way, remember that they're there. Right now, you know, we get trumpet voices by use of these microphones here.
Amplifiers.
It's not going to be that way in the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, then Behind these seven men were priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the key. The presence of the Lord. And then after them came the rest of the people. All right, now, on, let's say Monday, we'll just start it off here. On Monday, this procession went around the city of Jericho just one time. You remember the story? Just one time. And nobody made a sound except the seven priests with their trumpets. So every once in a while, I want you seven priests now to go, Hatsasarah. You don't have to be too loud just yet. Just Hatsasarah.
Just enough to make them nervous.
Just enough to make them nervous, you know. Make them mystified. So this is what happens on Monday. This is what happens on Tuesday. This is what happens on Wednesday and so on. Until they came to the seventh day. I guess the Bible would show the exact day there. I didn't check this out. But on the seventh day. And on this day, they were to go around seven times. And we're literally going to do that this morning. We're going to go around seven times. And nobody's to utter a word. Now, you never had a Jericho march like that, because every time we have a Jericho march, everybody yells and screams and so on, you know, and claps their hands. But in this Jericho march, nobody says a word except these seven priests. Every once in a while, they go, Hatsasarah. They blow their trumpet. You can put your hand up to your mouth like this, you know. Hatsasarah. Hatsasarah. Then, at the end of six times, they go around once more. They go around the seventh time. And then they're going to give a blast. The word blast is interpolated, I know, in the text there, but I think the idea is still there. They're going to say, Hatsasarah! All together, you know. Hatsasarah! Hatsasarah! Maybe several times. And then all the rest of us are going to start shouting. Hallelujah. That's what's going to happen in the Feast of Tabernacles. This, or in the Feast of Trumpets. This is a picture of what is happening in the end time. Hallelujah. I don't know just how God's going to work all the details out, you know. He didn't call me in on the planning on this. I just enjoy being in it. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll probably have to kind of be the director up here a little bit. Morris? Well, come on down. You can carry the ark. You and get somebody with you. That's all right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, when these seven men begin to shout, Hatsasarah, with a blast, then all the rest of you start shouting. And you say, well, what will we shout? Well, I'll let you pick it out. You can say, Hallelujah. All right. Another carrier here. Actually, I think there were four priests that carried the ark. And four. And okay. Now, you say, what'll I shout? Well, you can shout, Hallelujah. Because that's heavy artillery, you know. Remember we taught on that. The word Hallelujah is heavy artillery against the enemy. Remember Jehoshaphat's army. Or you can shout, I bind you, Satan. That's all right, because this is what's going to happen. Jericho's going to fall. Now are the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And the kingdom of Satan is going to fall. And you can say, I bind you, Satan. Amen. Amen. Or you can say, I bind the strong man over Arkansas. How many aren't from Arkansas? All right, where are you from? Missouri. I bind the strong man over Missouri. I bind the strong man over Arizona. They got a big one there, especially in Phoenix. I bind the strong man over, where's the Australia people? Not here this morning. Okay. Somebody will have to, you know, substitute for them. And whatever it is, and you can go through all the 50 states. That's all right. And when you run out of them, you can pick up the countries. I bind the strong man over Russia. I bind the strong man over Germany. I bind the strong man over, where? Iran. That's a good one, see? And begin to bind the strong man. And you can shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon if you want to. That's all right. Anything you want to shout. But we're all going to shout here, and with a loud noise, with an authoritative voice, with the blast of the trumpets. And this is how God's going to bring down the strongholds of the devil. Amen. Aren't you kind of excited about this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. First, let's do it this way. You folks here, go ahead first, will you? On this side, just, we're going to go clear around the building. Now, this is on the last day.
No, I mean inside. Just go, say, halfway back there.
We did this through that well out there. The well quit on us here at 1 June, right in the middle of camp meeting. I went up to the pump people, and they said, we'll have to drill a new well. And I said, no, I don't think we'll do that. I said, I'll come back and let you know later. I came back in the morning like this, but we all went out and marched around the well and shouted and sang.
Amen.
The wells never quit singing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you shout, you can begin to bind the demons of fear. You can bind the demons of cancer. The demons of insanity. All of these things, all of these workings and expressions of Satan, begin to bind them and begin to come against the strong men over cities and states and so on. Because what happened in Jericho is a picture of what's going to happen in the Feast of Trumpets in the last days. Praise the Lord. All right. You've got seven priests here now. And you move down next. And where are those now that are bearing the Ark of the Covenant? And, all right. Fine. All right. Now the rest of you follow in. And we'll just make one big circle around Jericho. You better get out of the middle here because you're apt to get tromped on after a while. Alright, let's just go around. Let's see, here is Brother and Sister Bell, and I'll start counting with them. And so, when you come around the second time, when you come around once, I'll say one. That's right. Alright, let's go. Nobody make a sound now. Just real shh. Just my seven priests there with Hot Sister Ra once in a while.
We encircled the place seven times. Then came the final shout.
Hot sauce hurrah! Everybody! Hot sauce hurrah! Hot sauce! All right, let's shout with a mighty shout. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We thank you, Lord, for the coming down of the strongholds of Satan. Hallelujah! We bless you, O God. We bless you, O God. Haramando, Ramanda, Sandalama, Sando. Kura mahangeli toho shandala mahandala pasudio. Tipa rama hando rama maha shandala ma sandala ma. Kero moho kori andala ma shaya. Hallelujah. 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 Put swords in the hands of your people, Lord. Glory to God. Mighty weapons in the hands of your people. Glory to God. Kira mahando mashala mahaya masinio. Kura mahando mahasandala makuria. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. Glory, hallelujah. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. Glory, hallelujah, the strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. Glory, hallelujah, the strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. Glory, hallelujah, the strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. The strong man is dead. Man is dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Frank, I wonder if you'd come here just a moment. And
I think, you know, it's about dinner time here.
And,
praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Frank to pray that God will give every one of us an authoritative voice, a trumpet. See? We have to have this authoritative voice to be among those that blow the trumpets. And perhaps some of us have been, you know, kind of, you know, we've been weak and accepting the things that Satan has put upon us. And we're going to change from now on. We're just going to ask God to give every one of us an authoritative voice. And then we'll just turn it over to Glenn here.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Lord,
hallelujah.
I think of two words in the Greek when this request came forward. Dunamis and the exousia. Lord, and I pray that we have the dunamis, the dynamite of God, as a potential, Lord God, to destroy and blow up all those strongholds of the enemy and have the exousia, the authority, to carry it out, Lord God. And Jesus, you said that all authority has been given unto you and you give it unto us. And I pray right now that you quicken these people that have marched around their Jericho, O Lord, and give them the exousia to pull down those strongholds and the authority. They have it, but give them the confidence that they can use it in the name of Jesus. Father, quicken their spirits now and realize that you've called us to be overcomers, not to succumb to the situation, but to overcome every situation. Hallelujah. And Father, maybe we're here from different denominations and different walks of life, but Lord, those seven churches sure had overcomers in it, Lord. And now let's be the overcoming overcomers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
You know, this is very serious what we've just done. It isn't funny. It isn't playing. It's very, very serious. And we have in our power to bind Satan with chains and to set the captives free. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this, but I see there's power and authority in doing it. And it's seriousness. We need to do it with all seriousness whenever it's done. And with the expectation that we shall accomplish in the spirit world what seemingly man is not able to accomplish in the natural, because the things of the Lord are not understandable in the things by the natural. But I see a potential to bind up the powers of Satan and bind him with chains. Amen. And set the captives free. Praise the name of the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.